Welcome to the Research Data Alliance Data Streams podcast series, a place where researchers, scientists, and data professionals share their experiences of working together in the global Research Data Alliance community to address and solve the challenges of sharing and managing research data. My name is Stephanie Hagstrom, and I am the Director of Community Development at the RDA US and the host of this podcast series. Today we will hear from members of one of the newest RDA groups, the Sensitive Data Interest Group, about what their motivation was to start this group, what challenges and potential impacts they will address, what outputs they have planned, and how you can get involved. I am joined by three co-chairs of the group today, Crystal Spreadborough and Alex Mikhailovich, both research data specialists at the Melbourne Data Analytics Platform at the University of Melbourne, and Nicola Burton, data technologist at the Australian Research Data Commons. Welcome to all of you, and thank you for joining us today. Let's start off with my first question I have for Nicola. Will you please explain for our listeners the definition of sensitive data?
Thank you, Stephanie. My name is Nicola Burton, and I'm a co-chair of the interest group. The three of us here today are based in Australia, home of a great many diverse Indigenous cultures. I'd like to begin by acknowledging and celebrating the traditional owners of the land where I live and work. Here in Perth, Western Australia, that's the Whadjuk Noongar people. I pay my respects to their elders, past, present, and emerging. So what is sensitive data? In fact, that first basic question isn't so easy to answer. Everyone has different definitions of what sensitive data is. You can think about data sensitivity in terms of the risk that data poses to people, groups, and species, or in terms of data that's controlled by law, or which we have an ethical responsibility to protect. Alex, would you like to elaborate on this question?
Absolutely. I'm Alex Mikhailovich, and I am also a co-chair of this interest group. First, both Crystal and I live and work in Melbourne on the lands of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation, and we acknowledge their custodianship of these unceded lands and we pay respect to their elders, past and present. So data can be sensitive in different ways and in multiple ways simultaneously. Those of us working in this space are aware of some of the issues pertaining to its handling, but continued discussion with our membership reveals just how complex this landscape can be in terms of institutional and organisational mandates, categorisations, disciplinary conventions, available infrastructures, not to mention national, regional and international legal frameworks. What do you think, Crystal?
Yeah, thanks, Nicola and Alex, for that really useful context. Let's talk specifically about our interest group's definition of sensitive data. So my name is Crystal Spreadborough, and I'm one of the group's co-chairs. So as the listeners have heard, defining sensitive data is a complex issue. In fact, we've had lots of conversations about whether one can arrive at a single definition of sensitive data in the first place. But developing a shared understanding of the terms related to this area, including this term sensitive data itself, is something that we're currently focusing on as an initial output of the interest group. Of course, we need to start somewhere, and especially when we were developing the charter for our interest group, we needed a working definition of sensitive data. So we've adapted the definition from the templates for fairness evaluation criteria in the RDA Shark interest group, which one of the co-authors, Raman David, is actually one of the co-chairs of our sensitive data interest group. So this definition refers to sensitive data as information that is regulated by law and which carries risk for plants, animals, individuals, and communities, as well as public and private organizations. Sensitive data as personal sensitive data, which is information about, for example, racial or ethnic origin, and as about data that could be identifiable and potentially cause harm through their disclosure. But I'd really encourage people to check out our charter for our complete working definition of sensitive data.
Thank you, Crystal. This sounds challenging. Can you tell our listeners a bit more about the scale of the issues you're tackling and who do you see as your potential adopters for the work this group is doing?
Yeah, I'd be happy to address this. So the big issue we want to tackle is that sharing sensitive data is, as you said, complicated. Sharing and combining sensitive data can help us to solve some very important problems. So for instance, a lot of progress was made to combat COVID-19 because health data could be brought together. But data holders are rightfully cautious about making sure that this is done properly. They have a responsibility to make sure that they protect this data, and they need to know that it's not going to put anyone at unnecessary risk. The more uncertainty there is around the best way to look after and share sensitive data, the harder it is for data holders to make these decisions. And where there's uncertainty, data holders will be conservative and avoid sharing. It's obviously really important that sensitive data is protected, but what we're worried about is the situation where data could, in theory, be shared safely, and there would be some real societal benefit, but we don't have the agreements and understanding in place to allow it to happen. There are some big discussions for us to have. We need to know who should be allowed to access sensitive data and who has the right to grant other people access to sensitive data. We also need to work out what should and shouldn't be done with certain types of data and how to make sure that those restrictions are recorded and communicated and enforced. And we need to know how our treatment of data, including the cybersecurity protections required for that data, should change as the level of risk associated with the data increases. Now, some of these questions do have local answers, say within a particular organisation or country, but then it all gets complicated again when you work across those boundaries. And often that's the kind of sharing that we need. So how can a data holder be sure that their data will be managed properly by external collaborators? So hopefully it's obvious how important it is that we can talk clearly and precisely to one another about sensitive data, and from there develop agreements about what's appropriate use and management of sensitive data and how we can make sure those requirements are met.
Thanks, Nicola. As you've just said, the scale of this issue is immense. It's global. We're hoping to make it easier to understand what is meant by sensitive data across organisations, across disciplines, and across countries. One of our aims is to develop classifications for sensitive data handling, with the hope that we can help people develop a common understanding. It's easier to come to agreements for the sharing of sensitive data when we better understand one another. So in that sense, our adopters are those who work with their own and other sensitive data. There are increased expectations from, for example, research funding bodies about the securement of sensitive data. And we are all aware that security risks exist with sensitive data. In fact, the law often can't keep up with technological advancements and possibilities, and this includes access to and use of sensitive data. That means that those who work with sensitive data have additional obligations in terms of data care. So, for example, we all regularly hear about data breaches and data leaks. So increasing data security and people's confidence is essential to data work, especially as sharing of sensitive data necessarily requires important agreements, including legal agreements. And to get there, you need to share understandings of sensitive data in terms of its classifications. This is essential to building trust, and it's difficult to establish trust if you're not speaking the same language. Exploring such issues together means that we can develop a more nuanced understanding, and doing so in a group together in an international interest group means our work can have far greater impact.
Thanks, Alex. Thanks so much for this interesting overview. What are the specific challenges that your group is trying to solve in the short to medium term? Crystal, how about we start with you this time?
Sure, no problem. Look, it certainly is a broad topic, and that's what makes it so interesting. Earlier this year, we actually spent some time as a community to identify what our most pressing challenges are in the sensitive data space. So we developed our interest group roadmap to identify the challenges that we'd be focusing on in 2022, as well as identify the next set of challenges that we could work on in 2023 and beyond. So the first challenge that we agreed needed addressing was developing this shared understanding of terminology that we use when we're discussing sensitive data. So basically, we're interested in developing a glossary of sensitive data terminology. And this, you know, allows us to translate across regions and disciplines. And of course, we can use this terminology within our own interest group as well to make sure our community is speaking a similar language. So the reason we've identified this as our first challenge is because a shared understanding of language is essential for having a constructive conversation about sensitive data across regions and disciplines. Now, all that said, we are acutely aware that it's not possible to produce a perfect glossary of terms. There are some differences in how we talk about sensitive data that we cannot resolve. For example, some regions might use terms in certain ways because of legislation or regulatory requirements. And some disciplines may have developed community agreed upon understandings over years, and these understandings work perfectly well for them. So the goal here is not to impose a new definition, but rather to help us understand each other. And in creating this glossary itself, we also might better understand where different understandings are causing misunderstandings in our community. Nicola, do you want to talk about some of the other challenges we've identified in the roadmap?
Yeah, so we're planning to go on to look at the ways that levels of sensitivity are understood and classified. I think that most people would be comfortable with the idea that some sensitive data is more sensitive than other data. So for instance, in the realm of personal information, I'd personally be more uncomfortable with someone openly disclosing a data set that contained my political views and my address than one that had my height and weight. They're both personal information about me, and I'd expect them both to be treated carefully, but the former opens me up to greater risk. The higher the risk, the greater protections we want to place around that data. Now, we might wonder why all sensitive data isn't just given the maximum possible protection, but there's always a trade-off between protecting the data and making it useful to researchers. We can make data very safe by, say, making sure that it can only be accessed from a particular secure physical location. But that would make it really onerous for researchers to access the data, and it'll discourage them from using it in research. And that kind of very strict protection can also be quite costly to implement. So we should try and maintain a balance between reducing the risk and maintaining usability to make sure that we get the greatest overall benefit from the data while keeping people safe. Underprotecting data obviously has negative consequences, but so does overprotecting data. So for this reason, it's helpful to think about classifications, ways of deciding and indicating the level of risk that's inherent in a data set and the ways that that data set should therefore be protected. So different disciplines, institutions, and regulations have different ways of classifying data sensitivity. We want to understand how these different groups talk about and classify risk and how we can line up the classifications between groups to enable easier sharing and reuse.
Oh, yes, and another challenge is governance. How can we best apply appropriate data governance to sensitive data? So this includes, but is definitely not limited to, considerations such as data ownership, data collection, ethical conduct, appropriate metadata, architecture management, appropriate accessibility, as well as data documentation and security protocols. So you can see that there's many considerations, and these can and do differ for different types of sensitive data. So governance, together with the points made by Crystal and Nicola about vocabularies and classifications, are some of the challenges our interest group is working on to address.
So what stage are you in with this group's work now? Nicola, how about you get started on that one?
Yeah, sure. So we started off our vocabularies work by surveying our membership. We wanted to find out which terms were most often used by people in our interest group and how they were defined. So in collaboration with the Privacy Implications of Research Datasets interest group, we put out a survey which asked respondents to list sensitive data terms that were important to their work and to give us definitions of those terms. So we were hoping to see whether there were different definitions across our membership and then to try and find ways to line them up so that the group could start with a core vocabulary to reference. We did have a good response rate for the survey, so around 100 people have responded. And of those, the majority viewed themselves to be experienced or moderately experienced with sensitive data. However, we did get fewer terms and definitions back than we expected. I think part of this might be because it's a broad and complex area. And when you're presented with a blank sheet, it's pretty hard to assess which terms are most useful or important to you. But we did get some really useful comments and sources for definitions that we took into our next activity, and we'll be revisiting the survey with a new strategy informed by that activity soon.
And I might jump in here to talk about this new activity. So developing and deploying that survey was a really great way to connect with our colleagues at the Privacy Implications of Research Datasets interest group. And we learned a lot from the experience. This has led us to the second iteration of our work, developing a glossary of terms. So in this second iteration, rather than launch a survey and ask people to supply terms, we instead asked our community to share with us existing glossaries that they knew of or used. And we got a lot of really good resources out of this activity. And we selected four existing glossaries as our starting point. We've taken all the terms and definitions from these four glossaries and we put them into a single spreadsheet. So in total, we have about 500 terms across the four resources. as this is just the first step in the process, we're now looking to curate this list of 500 terms into a more manageable size. So this was the focus of our last plenary session at RDA 19. At this session, we worked with the community to identify which terms would be most useful to include in a glossary of sensitive data. We're going to be continuing this discussion at our next few community meetings. Once we have that curated list, we're then going to crosswalk between these definitions. Some of these might be simple. There might be terms that are in fact being used in really similar ways across communities. But we imagine that there are going to be some thorny terms in there as well, especially our namesake, sensitive data. We're not advocating for a definitive definition of any term, but we do hope to at least reach a consensus on how we use terms within our own interest group. We're aiming to have this work complete by around the end of 2022. And you can check out the progress of this work to date by viewing our community meeting notes, as well as our notes from Plenary 19.
Thanks, Crystal. Now, how can listeners to the podcast get involved in the project? And what is a good way to engage in the group and its work, like now or if you need help later? Alex, do you want to take this one?
Sure. Please do engage with us. We are a very friendly and inclusive group. You can join us on the Research Data Alliance website via the Sensitive Data Interest Group webpage. And this way you will be able to follow our activities and events. Also, if you have any specific queries or suggestions, you can contact us here. As mentioned earlier, we hold regular community meetings once per month, and we warmly invite anyone interested to come along. So during these community meetings, we sometimes have guest speakers, and at other times we undertake community activity. For example, the glossary work that Crystal outlined earlier. We've found such collective endeavours to be highly productive, and they feed directly into setting our interest group direction, establishing specific goals, and also working towards associated outputs. We're also aiming to work more closely with other interest groups. For example, we have been working with the Privacy Implications of Research Datasets interest group, and many of our members are part of other interest groups because so much of our work necessarily overlaps. These cross-pollinations mean that we can leverage further knowledge and experience in our sensitive data work, and we're currently investigating with other groups how we can work more closely together. Our sensitive data interest group includes members from all around the world, but as you can see, we are well represented by Australians. Come and join us and participate in our community meetings and attend our plenary sessions. We'd love to see you, and we very much hope to meet some of you soon.
Thank you all so much. This has really been interesting. Before we close, we're coming to the end. Do any of you have any last thoughts you wish to share? Crystal.
Yeah, thanks so much, Stephanie. I think we've covered the main points and given a good overview of our work to date. So thank you so much for having us on the podcast series.
Sure. Alec?
I think that's it from us today. And we really encourage you to join us. And thanks so much, Stephanie, for having us.
And Nicola.
That's it. Thanks so much for having us.
We certainly do recognize and thank all of you for the enormous contributions and commitment you have given to this RDA community. Thanks to the listeners for joining our podcast, and please visit the RDA website at rd-alliance.org to join the community. Thanks for listening.
The Data Streams podcast series is hosted by the Research Data Alliance U.S. region and funded by the U.S. National Science Foundation. Upbeat Theme Loop, created by Mirth Nerona, is used under a Creative Commons license. For more information about the group or outputs discussed on today's podcast, or to listen to other episodes, find us at rd-alliance.org/podcast or on the Research Data Alliance's YouTube channel. Thanks for listening.